get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Please me, baby, just tease me, baby. You got what I want, what I need, baby. Please, please.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe. That's
here comes Santa Claus.
Put the in my pocket, it's on me.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Yeah, your grandmama probably know me.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Give my bottles, these bottles are lonely.
It's a moment when I show up, got them saying wow.
Walking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Maybe we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling.
Oh, you will get that sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly.
I'ma break you up, let me be your motivation.
Bum, 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 bum.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
The first Noel, the angels, they say, was to certain poor shepherds asleep on the hay.
Be real, I jigger, give up, bout a beer. Is what it is, she a five-star chick. She a big old freak, it's a must that I hit. It's a hot girl, summer, so you know she got it right.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. It's episode 276 of the reporter. Right now, we're rocking out to some of that, that's my man named Cameron J, man, with the Star Keisha Christmas Carols Part 4. Rock out with your boy.
Packing the mail, it's gone. Boom. She like how I smell, cologne. I just signed the deal, I'm on.
Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom.
I go where I want, I'm good. Play if you want, let's do it. I'm a young CEO, yeah.
Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams.
So won't you say my name, say my name.
If only in my dream.
All right. That's a talented motherfucker right there, man. Cameron J. I think he's got a couple albums on like Tidal and Spotify or whatnot. Go ahead, check that brother out, man. He's really known for like the viral videos that he does. He's doing all of the fucking harmonies. He's doing them by himself, man. He's real fucking sweet, man. I just like, you know what, man? You know, it's the holiday season. You know, it's time for us to like get ready to shut down for the year, man. You know, enjoy family, enjoy food, enjoy love and all that shit, man. Why not bring it in with some holiday cheer? You know what I'm saying? Bring it in with some holiday cheer. You know? So, yeah, man, it is, yeah, this is episode 276 of the Span Report Podcast, man. This is the last episode of the Span Report that we're going to do for 2019, man, and I was, like, kind of thinking about, doing like a year in review, man, just kind of going over all of the things that, you know, we've been able to accomplish here at the Span Report Podcast Network and everything. But I'm gonna be honest with y'all, man, your man Span ain't really had the time to like sit down and do it. You know, I've been putting in so many hours at the job, man, like it just hasn't really given me enough free time to kind of sit down and go through all those things the way I would really like to, man. I want to do that soon, man. I want to do that 1 year, man. Just kind of have a, like a year in review and just reflect on all of the shit that we did throughout the year. But we're going to do this like this, man. We're going to do this episode the way that we do every other episode, man. We're going to talk about the news. We're going to talk about what's happening. And, you know, we're going to also have an appreciation for the people who've been rocking out with us here at the Spare Report Podcast for what's going to be like damn near 10 years now. You know, this has been a thing for a while, man. Definitely couldn't have seen this or foreseen like the level of involvement your boy Span got with the all this equipment and shit I ended up buying over the years, like to kind of bring this show to you, man. Yeah, man, this has been a journey. It's been a journey. So we're going to, I'm very much appreciative of everyone who has stuck with your boy and rode out with your boy for as long as y'all have been, man. This show cannot exist without y'all, man. So I really do appreciate everybody who not only listens, but who donates, who tells everybody else about the show, who buys things up out of the store, man. Y'all really do help this thing keep going, man. So I really do appreciate every last one of y'all. But before we get into the show, for the newbies who may be here for the very first time, let me let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. As area code 313-288-0485. Leave the voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails. Of course, those emails will get read here live on the show. We got a couple of them that we got to get to tonight. So yeah, go ahead and hit us up on that email, feedback@thespanreport.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. You can go ahead, follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. And sometimes I've noticed I've been neglecting to mention the Facebook fan page, or not the fan page, but the group. The Facebook group for the Spare Report Podcast listeners, man. There's a group where you can go with other, you know, you get alerted when we get ready to go live, man. Other people are in there that are talking about some of the things that are presenting certain stories that they want to hear on the show. You can go to the Facebook group and be a part of that. And it's another way to kind of connect with the Spare Report Podcast Network, right? Also, oh man, I think that shit threw me off because I don't normally do that. But yeah, we got the Facebook group. Also, yeah, hit us up on our website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we decide to put one up. You can leave comments there. You can listen to the show through the website. It's kind of like an app. If you go to our website from your cell phone, you can pretty much use the website, sort of like the Span Report Podcast Network app. Real talk. You can just put, as a matter of fact, little pro tip, if you got an Android phone, just take that tab. They got the Spare Report Podcast website on there. Put that boy on your home screen, and you get all Spare Report shit right there. Boom, boom, boom. Whole ass app right there, right now. But for real, man, you can go there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we appreciate everybody who donates here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. Our Patreon patrons, you guys will get your shout out tonight. And everybody else who decides to donate, you know, the one time through our PayPal, you can donate that way as well. Our Patreon, we pretty much have been trying to reserve that for those who would like to do the to keep us afloat here on Crowdcast. But we may be making some changes to that coming in 2020, so be on the lookout for that, man. But really, we really do appreciate everybody who donates monetarily, man. It really does help. And speaking of which, when it comes to the donations, right? So we've got some good news and some bad news when it comes to that, right? So the good news is, over the course of the last, I want to say, month and a half, 2 months or so, we've been doing really well. We've been doing really well as far as like downloads are concerned. So well, in fact, that we've been crashing the website. So we have to pay for more bandwidth. We have to pay for more bandwidth in order to keep the site up, in order for more people to have access to the site, to be able to download the episodes when they become available. And so, I was hoping in 2020 going forward that we could depend on our listeners to contribute a little bit more going into 2020, man. I don't really like asking for money and everything, but this stuff does cost money. I mean, it does cost money. The website isn't free. The hosting for the content isn't free. This stuff costs a lot of money. And I would, you know, it would be nice if some more of our listeners would be able to kind of, you know, pitch in maybe $2 a month, you know what I'm saying, and try to help us keep the lights on as far as the Span Report podcast is concerned, because, you know, we would like to continue to do this and provide this this commentary and provide the, you know, the Beer and Chicken and the Baywatch podcast. We really would like to continue to do these things, but these things cost money. And it's because it's costing us more and more money as it continues to grow. So hopefully going into 2020, we can depend on you guys to kind of help us keep this thing going, man. Real talk. Yeah, that's a thing. Like it's dead serious. That's a thing. So yeah, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, and I hope that's not, that doesn't come across doom and gloom. But yeah, we need the help. We really need the help over here as we continue to grow here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. Also, 5-star reviews. Our 5-star reviews on iTunes and our Stitcher Radio. Those are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. We've got a couple of 5-star reviews to read here on tonight's show, man. So, yeah, man, we got a lot to get into tonight. Got a lot to get into. And like I said, this is the closeout show for the Span Report for 2019. And so, yeah, let's get into it. We're going to start off with some listener feedback. And of course, our first listener feedback, we're going to go to our 5-star reviews, man. We got a couple of them, like I said earlier. And our first review, this comes here from, you commented on TOT's Facebook post, and this is by Not Andre. It says, glad I, well, let me go ahead and open this up here. And it won't let me open it up. Well, all right. Hold on a second. Can I expand that? Okay, it won't let me expand it, but it said, it gave me 5-star reviews, so shout out to Not Andre. Said, I'm glad I did. You have a great format and your topics are spot on. Definitely a fan. Keep up the great work. Dope show. And I appreciate you, Not Andre, for dropping that 5 stars, man. And also, the thing about the 5 stars, man, real talk, doesn't cost you nothing to leave 5 stars, man. Trust and believe when it comes to this podcasting shit. The people that don't fuck with you will let you know it. I've got 4, let's see, what's that? I got 4 1-star ratings, and every last one of those 1-star ratings are people who had an issue with your boy. People who had personal issues with your boy. They all fought, all of 1-stars, they really had some we've had some interactions. Let's just say that, right? But I really do appreciate Not Andre for that 5-star review, man. Real talk. The other 5-star review we got was from CV. I hope I'm saying this right. Seaview My Say. They dropped us 5 stars and said, Span is great. Been listening for years. Span is great to listen to, and I respect his opinion because he isn't static in his thoughts, and we get to see him grow and change. And I really do appreciate you noticing. Right. The other part about that, the other part about like the whole growth thing. And I know I've spoken about it, you know, quite a few times here on the show. You know, the thing, if you don't want to be static, you would hope that no one wants to be static. One of the things that I've learned over the course of doing this podcast, man, is that there are a lot of people out here who are a lot smarter than me. And my views have been challenged over the course of the years to where I could change my mind, where a persuasive argument had been made where it challenged the way that I thought about things. And in some ways, I think I try to challenge the listeners with a different perspective on some of these things in ways that they probably hadn't thought of, because these were some of the things that I hadn't thought of before. And so I don't know if I had a target audience, but I think when it comes to some of the things that I choose to talk about here on this show is topics that I hear, you know, that are kind of popular, or that people are, there's kind of a buzz up about it on social media, but also just like kind of taking my my real life into, you know, into account, and how people are consuming and how people are thinking about the topics of the day. And if I can present a genuine perspective and also you know, presented in a way that maybe those folks hadn't really heard about it before, hadn't thought about it before, then man, I think I feel like I've done my job. And so I appreciate you noticing the growth in me, because, you know, I noticed I noticed it. It's been a lot of change over the course of the last 10 years with your man Span. And so, yeah, man, I appreciate those 5-star reviews, man. Real talk. Again, you can hit us up with the 5-star reviews. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show, not the 1-star ones. We don't like y'all. But but the 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Now, we also have some let me go on here. I think it's a Castbox comment for the show. Let me pull this out. I thought I had this already. All right, let's go there. Okay, so we got one. This is from Curtis Howard, and I think we remember Curtis, but Curtis Howard left a comment. He said, I used to like this guy. He's got way too preachy and hate black men that speaks on black empowerment. Well, you know, not going to really concern ourselves with that kind of negativity. But I will say this, when it comes to black men and black empowerment, if you're not talking about black empowerment and it including everybody that is black, including black women, including the black LGBTQ community, then damn it, you ain't talking about much. So we're going to leave it at that. But that has been our reviews. That has been our Castbox comments. Now, I also wanted to take time out to acknowledge our Patreon patrons for helping us keep the Crowdcast thing going. So shout out to Aaron B. Man, Aaron B. has been consistently donating over the course of the last 5 or 6 months. So we really do appreciate Aaron. The homie Dre has been consistently donating to us. We really do appreciate your money and your time, because I know you listen. So we really do appreciate that. The homie Jay Muddy continues to come through for us here on our Patreon, man. And Kimberly B. Kimberly B. has been coming through for us here at the Span Report Podcast. This is our golden circle of the Span Report Podcast Network. They have been donating consistently with us, helping us keep the cast, Crowdcast thing going. This is how you get the chance to watch the shows live, because of the monies that these people have been putting up to help us continue to do this. So the golden circle of the Span Report Podcast Network, that is them, and we really do appreciate them, and hopefully it'll be more of them. Right? Hopefully it'll be more of them going into 2020 as we continue to try to grow this thing. Hopefully it'll be more and more people donating to the Span Report Podcast Network via through Patreon or through our PayPal, man. We really do appreciate everybody who donates in that way, man. Real talking, everybody who bought a t-shirt or a coffee mug and everything, man. We really do appreciate every last one of y'all, man. But it is time for us to get into some of this show, man. Let's get into some of this show. And it is time for us to get into the news, y'all. Wait a second. Something ain't going right. Let's see what's going on with this young iPad here. How about that? Now, let's see if I can... How about let's... There we go. Not gonna lie, y'all, I didn't have that kind of trouble when I hit an Android tablet, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But our first story in the news, man, is actually some good news, man. So New Jersey has a new governor, a fellow by the name of Phil Murphy. He's a Democrat, and he has just signed a voting rights restoration bill to... he's actually about to restore the voting rights of 80,000 residents in the state of New Jersey. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of thehill.com. It says New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy on Wednesday signed legislation that will restore voting rights to more than 80,000 residents who are on parole or probation. The measure, which takes effect in March, will make New Jersey the 19th state to allow those who have been released from prison to reclaim their right to vote while they serve on probation or parole. Our administration is deeply committed to transforming our criminal justice system, and today we're taking a historic step to give residents impacted by the system a second chance, Murphy said in a statement. Voting rights advocates hailed the bill as a step toward rehabilitating those who have served their time. By signing this bill, Governor Murphy has given more than 80,000 people a voice in the decisions that affect them and their families. New Jerseyans should feel proud to welcome all of these people back into our democracy, said Myrna Perez, director of the Voting Rights and Elections Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. Restoring voting rights for a former felons has become the latest front in the push for greater access to the ballot box. Earlier this month, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear issued an executive order allowing those who have served their sentences to regain the franchise. Florida voters amended their state's constitution in 2018 to permit former felons to vote, though the state legislator has sought to require people to pay court fees and fines before they get the vote back. A poll tax. Legislators in Nevada and Louisiana passed laws this year allowing former felons to vote, and Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has made restoring the franchise a key priority. She's a Republican. Murphy on Wednesday also signed legislation that would allow former felons who have their record expunged that do not commit another offense for 10 years. That measure does not include those who have been convicted of the most heinous crimes, but it automatically seals records of low-level marijuana convictions after sentences have been served. So, as we've been saying on the show for the last few years, man, especially concerning since 2016, we've been kind of beating this drumbeat, the access to the ballot. And, I think it's important that people exercise that franchise. And it's also a good sign where you get these, you're getting more and more of these legislatures and these governors being proactive in restoring the voting rights to those who have been convicted of crimes, but who have served their time and are now being released back into the population. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked about is like when we start talking about rehabilitating felons, like, how do we go about that if we continue to treat them as if we continue to treat them as though they're still bound by that crime that they've already served their time for? Like, you would think that the criminal justice system, if they go to jail for an extended period of time, whether it be like 5 to 10 years, whatever the crime may be, if they serve their time, then their debt to society should be paid. I'm of the belief of this when it comes to voting rights, that, I actually don't believe that we should even have to register to vote. I think that once you become 18 years old in America, you should automatically be registered to vote. And the only time you would even have to, you know, change anything as far as your voter registration would be when you change your address. You know what I'm saying? So when you would go to the post office and fill out the form to say, hey, this is a change of address form, I'm going to be moving here, I want all my mail forwarded there, that is also taken into account that, okay, now that this change of address form has been submitted, that you are automatically transferred to the new district in which you live. It shouldn't be the amount of work that they put in front of people to register to vote, to keep them off of the rolls, or to try to prevent people from voting. I believe that voting should be, it's a fundamental right for one, and I think it's one that should be available to every eligible voter. I don't think that any voter should have to register to vote. If you're eligible to vote, if you're 18 or older and you're eligible to vote, you should automatically be registered to vote. And I just kind of believe that we are moving more towards something like that, even when we start talking about these convicted criminals being reintroduced into the franchise, being able to get their voting rights restored. This is a step in the right direction, but we're still seeing pushback from Republican legislatures. Like we said here, like in Florida, where the voters, they voted to amend the constitution of their state, only to have the Republican legislature and that Republican governor, DeSantis, decided they wanted to add more obstacles in front of these people who have, you know, pretty much served their time and paid their debt to society. Now you start talking about paying restitution and fines and things of this nature. It's essentially just putting a poll tax in front of these people. Well, you can't get your registration back until you pay this. And it's like, come on, man, we know what this is about. And so as I've said on this show many a time, if your vote was not important, they wouldn't be trying so hard to take it away from you. And it's always a good story to me when we start hearing that the voter or the legislature or the governors are starting to open up the ballot to more and more eligible people, or people who should be eligible to vote. So, yeah, man, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy giving 80,000 more people the opportunity to have their voices heard in the government. They're being taxed all the time. They don't have any representation. Taxation without representation is some bullshit. All right. So, yeah, man, that's in the news. Another story that's here in the news, and we're talking about voting, man. Scarface, the rapper Scarface. You guys remember him from the Ghetto Boys, one of my favorite rappers of all time. Scarface ran for city council in the city of Houston, but unfortunately, Scarface did not win. But he did get 40% of the vote. right, so we're going to read this story here. This comes out of VladTV.com. It says the legendary MC Brad Scarface Jordan made a run to become a city a council member for the city of Houston. Scarface was running to be a council member for District D against Carolyn Evan Shabazz, who ultimately got more votes than him. Scarface spoke on why he ran, saying, "You can sit back and point out the problems, or you can address them and bring solutions to the table." According to the polls, Evan Shabazz got 62.2% of the votes, while Scarface got an impressive 37.7%. The percentage is impressive because election runoffs usually produce low voter turnout. So, yeah, man, it's been interesting to kind of watch. You know, we're of the age now, right? I remember there was a time where no one in their right minds would have considered that, like, Scarface would have been someone who would have run for elected office. And here we are now where Scarface is running for city council. He gets damn near 40% of the vote. It's not to say that he won't run again. I believe that this was just the tip of the iceberg for him. And so it just kind of shows, man, like the growth of people, like the growth. And we talk about growth with the five-star reviews and stuff, like, you know, people change over time and like they mature over time. Their perspective changes over time. And so to see him getting politically engaged in this way, I like it. You know what I'm saying? Let me be honest with you. I don't know what his platform was, right? I hope, that Scarface's platform was one of a progressive, of a more progressive lean. But, yeah, man, it just is really interesting to see him being politically engaged in that way, to where he wanted to represent for his city in an official capacity, to where he can actually do something for the residents of the city of Houston. So, yeah, man, shout out to Scarface for doing that. And that's in the news, man. Another story here, and this one is actually a little bit more grim, but they actually possibly found a mass grave from the Tulsa race massacre. So let me pull this video up so you guys can watch here along with me. Let me pull this up so we can do that. Let's do that right there. All right. So the screen is being shared. There we go. Check this out, y'all.
Scientists in Oklahoma are one step closer to finding possible evidence of mass graves linked to one of the worst incidents of racial violence in our country's history. Researchers in Tulsa used ground-penetrating radar to survey three sites. They found irregularities at two of those sites that could be consistent with large-scale burials. Omar Villafranca is in Tulsa. Omar, this could ultimately uncover a new chapter in American history that most people have never, ever heard of. Good morning to you.
You're right. Good morning. You're right. And not just black history. You're right. This is American history. This is the Greenwood neighborhood, also known as Black Wall Street. You had tailors, banks, grocery stores, tax services, all black owned businesses. But in 1921, a white mob burned it to the ground, and as many as 300 black residents were killed. That's what's depicted there on the letter K. History had basically almost forgotten about this, but the city of Tulsa is digging up the past and trying to heal old wounds. This was all part of the Greenwood area.
Yes, the building sat where his parking lot was.
Photojournalist Kevin Ross says he's grateful that a tragic, little-known part of Tulsa history is now coming to light.
For decades, it was hush-hush. Even some of the survivors that I interviewed, they were quiet and telling, oh, and the white people did this. They were whispering in their own homes because they were brought up not talking about what happened.
It happened on these streets in 1921. Much of the Tulsa neighborhood of Greenwood was burned to the ground by a white mob. The group clashed with several armed black men who had gathered to protect a black shoeshiner who was unjustly accused of assaulting a white woman. After a shot was fired, violence broke out, and hundreds of black people were massacred. Ross's great-grandfather was forced to flee the city after his business was destroyed.
You had explosions, you had people running for their lives. It was just hell on earth.
The horror was brought to life in the premiere episode of HBO's new series, Watchmen. Witnesses reported seeing bodies put in mass graves, but local officials hid evidence of any crimes.
Along the fence line.
At a public forum Monday, scientists confirmed they discovered what appears to be an underground pit, roughly 30 by 25 feet, which they say is large enough to bury up to 100 bodies.
But I'm as confident as I can be in the results that this is a very good candidate for something associated with the massacre.
G.T. Bynum is Tulsa's mayor.
It's very powerful. It's the first time that we've had anyone say that from a technical standpoint in an open forum in a meeting like this or to us.
Scientists are now planning to do additional surveys that could lead to excavations.
We don't know what the preservation will be like. And even if the preservation is truly excellent, we don't know who we'll find in there.
How soon would you like to see excavation?
I would like to see excavation by the spring. You know, we waited this long. We know where they are. Let's go get them.
The city wants to continue scanning early next year. Now, to give you a little bit more perspective, 35 blocks were burned to the ground. One of the few things that survived that massacre was the basement of this church here. Everything you see above ground was built afterwards.
Wow.
And church leaders in this community say if remains are found, they want them relocated here to the Black Wall Street area, and they want to build a memorial. Tony?
Well, that'd be appropriate. Omar, thank you very much. Now, this was deliberately kept out of textbooks for years. So what's happening now is a powerful reckoning
of
history.
An important piece of history that should...
All right. So interesting that he would say that, right? Because we hear a lot of times where like, and I know I talk about this on the show. And sometimes I'm going to be honest with you guys. Well, sometimes I lose patience with folks whom I believe should know these sorts of things. Right. I know I'll get on here and I will, you know, kind of go in. But, it's this thing where, a lot of folks did not know this history, and they kind of alluded to it in this story here where with Watchmen, they kind of illuminated this for a lot of people, and it made people go to Google and search this up only to find out that it was a real thing. This was something that I learned about in high school, but not everybody did. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody did. And so, you know, they kind of goes into the whole thing that we talk about when we say like some people just aren't going to get it when you think they should have it. Sometimes they're going to get it in their own time. And this became a time of enlightenment for a lot of folks when they start listening and like they see something in popular culture and it piques their interest. And now they may go down a rabbit hole and they start learning so much more shit that they didn't know, because to a large degree, there's a vested interest in us not knowing this sort of history. There's a vested interest in a lot of people not knowing how truly fucked up the history of the United States has been for the past 300 to 400 years. And so, you know, man, it's a bittersweet thing that they may have found a mass grave in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But it's just one more thing that this is something that we should know. And it's another thing to where. You want America to reckon with who she was and who she is. And hopefully, I know we live in some really divided times and everything, but hopefully we can get to a point of some level of mutual respect and some level of reconciliation in this country. I don't foresee it right now. But yeah, man, like that sort of thing happening. And it getting the type of attention that it's getting right now, I believe is way past due. It's way past due. Now, one thing that I just forgot, right? I forgot this story actually reminded me that I forgot some shit. We had some emails too in our listener feedback. We had some emails too, so I need to pull those emails up so that we can acknowledge those folks and hear those folks' voice. And our first email here is, wait a second, where is it? All right. So this one is about the Trump impeachment, and Winston W. writes in. He says, been listening to your show for a while now, sir, and I love what you're doing with this show. I like how you're able to cover so much many times without a co-host or guest speaker. Appreciate that. And you do it in an entertaining way. Sometimes a bit preachy, but entertaining nonetheless. You got me. You got me pegged, homie. It says, the reason I'm writing today is to ask you about the Trump impeachment. I know you're not much of a fan of the president, and you probably took some glee in seeing him impeached. I did. But do you think the Democrats may have overplayed their hand and allowed for Trump to be seen as more of a victim by his supporters and in turn motivating them to turn out with more enthusiasm in the elections next year? Many of the TV pundits I've watched have expressed this could be an issue and blow up in the Democrats' faces. Just wanted to know your thoughts on that and have a happy holiday season. Well, I appreciate the question. Here's the thing, man. I think that the people who support Donald Trump, who believe that Donald Trump is a victim of the left wing, left wing media and all these other things. Donald Trump has projected victimhood ever since he's gotten, you know, into the White House. Right. Donald Trump has a tendency to not take responsibility for anything he's ever done. Like if there's something good going on, Donald Trump is going to try to take all of the credit for it. If there's some bullshit going on, Donald Trump ain't trying to take none of the blame for that shit. And so for the people whom I believe are predisposed to vote for somebody like a Donald Trump, they were already motivated to go and vote for Donald Trump. I don't think that this impeachment thing is going to motivate anybody to go and vote for Donald Trump because they feel like he's being railroaded or anything like that. I think for the most part, especially the people that pay attention to this shit for the most part, I think they understand that the charges that were laid out against Donald Trump for abusing his power, his position, and for obstructing Congress. I mean, think about it like this, right? As a regular person, I don't have the wherewithal to defy and show up or not show up for a subpoena. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody and their mama, like, yo, you get a subpoena, nigga, you got to come. Like, you get a fucking summons from, like, for jury duty. You like, man, shit, now I got to go down here and deal with these people. And so for this dude, as acting as president of the United States, to be like, man, fuck your subpoena. I ain't giving you shit. Hey, everybody that's fucking with me, you ain't got to go talk to them. Fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like that in and of itself is kind of an abuse and an obstruction in a way that if you really wanted the truth to be told, then like, yo, man, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Let them go ahead and testify. The truth, if the truth has your back, then go ahead, let them testify. You don't have to incriminate yourself, but at the same time, you should allow for the people that work around you to go ahead and do their due diligence and not be put in jail because they're trying to protect you. Now, the other part about that is maybe Donald Trump, maybe Donald Trump could have, like, pardoned them, right? Like, that's another part about it. Like, Donald Trump had the power of the pardon. So maybe Donald Trump pardons them if they ever really got in trouble. But, again, that only speaks to maybe his covering some shit up, right? So going back to the voter aspect of your question, I think that when it comes to the voters, I think the people who are already in Donald Trump's camp, despite all of this shit that have came out about Donald Trump, they wasn't going nowhere. I really don't believe they were ever going to go anywhere. And the other part about it is this. I know they were talking about, them becoming more activated and energized to go vote. I'm going to tell you this, man. Like, Donald Trump lost the popular vote in 2016. And that was with a depressed Democratic electorate. Donald Trump didn't face the kind of numbers that say, for instance, Mitt Romney faced, or that John McCain faced, because we understood then that we were on the precipice of, you know, voting in the first black president in U.S. history. And a lot of people got behind that. Not as many people got behind that idea when it came to electing the first woman president. And a lot of that may have had to do with the fact that, like, you know, they did not like Hillary Clinton. Now, here's the other part about that, too, that, like, there has been a concerted effort for the better part of about 20, 24, 25 years to discredit Hillary Clinton ever since she was the first lady of the United States when Bill Clinton was president. Right. So Donald Trump, even though, like, he lost the popular vote with the depressed, you know, Democratic electorate, and yet he still lost by nearly 3 million votes. So after having seen Donald Trump in action for the better part of these last 3 years, you've got an even more energized base, because I think a lot of people on the Democratic side of the ticket got a little complacent, got a little cocky, got a little relaxed. And now we find ourselves in an existential threat with Donald Trump. Especially when you consider all of the justices that have been appointed to, you know, the federal courts over the time that Donald Trump has been president. Now, think about this, man. The Senate hasn't really done much when it comes to legislation, but they've been pushing those judges through, pushing them through. And so I think that when it comes to Donald Trump, whether he was going to get impeached or not, I think he's already facing an uphill battle with the fact that, like, yo, there's a lot of people motivated to get his ass up out the paint. A lot of people motivated to get him up out of the paint because they've seen before Donald Trump was sort of like an unknown. Like you had a whole lot of white folks who were just like, hey, you know, fuck it. You know, let's see what a businessman can do in the office. You know, sometimes we need a businessman to run this place like a business. Now you've seen it. Now you've seen it. And what you've seen, you might not like. And then for the people who are the most affected by some of the policies that Donald Trump has been able to enforce or enact or and just in the ways in which Donald Trump has conducted himself as president, you got a lot of people who are like, motivated to get his ass the fuck up out the paint. And it's part of the reason why you saw those numbers in 2018 in the midterm elections. I don't know if you're going to I doubt very seriously that the Trump base is much bigger than it's going to be. I think. Here's the other part about it. I think the Trump base isn't as large as folks would like to make it out to be. I saw a little exchange between Meghan McCain and I believe it was Sonny Hostin and Whoopi Goldberg on The View earlier this week. And Meghan McCain was talking about, well, you know, I'm giving the conservative perspective and you guys are like disrespecting half of the country, this, that, and the other. And when I heard half of the country, a bell went off in my head. I'm like, no. This is the rub. I don't believe, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't believe that half of the country ascribes to the things that Republicans tend to be out here advocating. I don't believe they have half of the country. I believe they have probably a little bit more than like a third. I think they have maybe a third of the country really kind of rocks with what the fuck the Republican Party is out here putting forth. I think the Republican Party has started to shrink, right? And the reason why... the reason why we are seeing an outsized Republican influence is because of the way our system is set up. When, you know, you got, the Senate where each state gets two senators and then you proportionally give each state representatives in the House of Representatives. But the higher house has, each state has two representatives, despite the fact that one state might have, I don't know, 300,000 residents in that state. And then you got another state with like 10 million, but they get the same amount of senators in the United States Senate. So I think there's an outsized influence when it comes to Republicans. And because of that outsized influence, it tends to skew our perspective as to how half of the country feels, because I believe that the Trump's done nothing to expand that base. Trump's done nothing to reach out to Hispanics. Trump's done nothing to reach out to the black community. Trump has pretty much concentrated his efforts on the white evangelical community, white people, and what they would consider the white working class. Outside of that, though, Trump's coalition is pretty small. And so, in my thinking going forward, I think that, like, if Trump does win, it's going to be because you've got a lot of people who are just simply apathetic to the process. And that's the thing that we have, you know, to kind of watch for, the apathy of people who have watched the Mueller report come through and nothing really happening to Donald Trump, and watching the impeachment come through and nothing really happening to Donald Trump because of it. And then they'll lose faith in the system because of that. So it's not as if, like, Trump being a victim, as he's trying to portray himself. I don't see Trump being a victim activating his base. I think that Trump being able to kind of seemingly get away with the shit he's been getting away with and nothing happening to him, I think that could possibly be the thing where you get a lot of apathetic voters on the left-leaning part of the spectrum looking at it like, man, well, what the fuck, man? We got all these different things that are supposed to put him in check, and none of these things are putting him in check. He just continued to operate with impunity, and then they disengage from it, right? Hopefully they don't, but that's how I feel about it. So I appreciate the email, Winston, and I hope to hear from you soon, man. Real talk. The other email that we got here, this is from Shaka 1914. Shaka writes in and say, dude, you are reaching on this Lizzo topic. Nobody cares that that girl is fat. If they want people to act, they just want people to act appropriately, and trying to make people feel bad for wanting her to be appropriate is kind of ass backwards, pun intended. Okay. Does your constant pandering to female listeners get you more listeners or something? Because you seem to do it on every episode and it gets tiring listening to you make excuses for females every chance you get. So one thing I will tell you this, Shaka, you don't have to listen to me. Like, you do that because you choose to. You don't have to listen to me. I'm sure there's thousands of podcasts that you could be listening to that, you know, kind of would, you know, make you feel better about whatever it is you feel. As far as like the pandering thing, you're not the first. You're not the first to say that I'm pandering to female listeners or the female audience or whatever else. The one thing I would say to you to this is this, because I actually got this from a couple friends of mine, right? And okay, and my wife just said she's locked out. Hold on a second, y'all. Oh man, let me pause this real quick. Oh, and I'm back. But yeah, so as far as the whole idea of pandering is concerned, I think the only thing that you can, like, the only way that that would really hold any weight is if those were ideas, or the things that you heard on the show were ideas that I didn't really hold in my personal life, that I didn't really believe in. And hate to tell you, man, I really believe the shit that I say when I'm on this mic. You're not getting any sort of like persona or anything like that. These are the things that I think about on the daily basis. And I would tell that to even any of my friends who are kind of, you know, they kind of don't necessarily understand my perspective when I start talking about these things. But nah, man, it's only pandering if you don't believe it. And I believe the shit that I say. And also, like I said, you don't have to listen to this show if you don't particularly like it. But, you know, something tells me that there's something about the show that you do. Now, the other thing, man, as far as Lizzo is concerned, yo, man, I wish, here's a part that I was really trying to get at for a lot of y'all, man, because I've seen a lot of people say, well, it's just about the time and place. It's about being appropriate and all these other things. And the thing that I would say to you is this, like, that's a pop star, man. She's doing what pop stars do. And if you're really concerned about, you know, the appropriateness of pop stars, you would come at all pop stars with the same level of intensity that y'all came at Lizzo with. And y'all weren't. Y'all weren't doing that. And so, you know, because y'all weren't coming with that level of smoke for everyone else who does the same or similar things, I don't believe that y'all were coming at her because y'all didn't necessarily like that she was inappropriate at the wrong time or any. I don't believe that. And some of the criticisms that and where they were coming from further cemented that I didn't believe the criticisms and why those criticisms were what they said they were. It was rooted in something else. And then the other part about that is a little bit of self-reflection, right? A little bit of self-reflection, like, you know, why do I feel this way about that? And I don't feel as strongly about it when other folks do it. Why? Where does that come from? And then if you're able to sit down and kind of reflect and look into yourself and find out where that comes from, maybe you do acknowledge, like, man, I probably do got I got issues with, you know, larger people being able to, like, kind of move and live and be free and not necessarily conform into the ways in which I believe that someone her size should conform to. That's it. That's all I got for you. That's all I got for you. But I guess I appreciate you writing in, man. I mean, I don't appreciate you calling me a panderer and all that other shit, but, you know, fuck it. It is what it is. We gonna keep doing what we do here at the Spam Report, though, right? So that has been the last of the listener feedback this week. I can't believe I let that shit roll after a whole last segment. But, it's the last show of the year, man. Real talk. But it is time for us to get on up out of that and get into what we like to call...
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Just say blue blazes. All right, our first story here in blue blazes is this is actually kind of messed up, man. So here in the Detroit area, a Lyft driver is actually out here trying to clear his name after a rider posted a warning post about him all over social media after he tried to help her with a cold. So we're gonna actually, is there video attached to this? I believe there is. There is video attached to this. So let me go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can watch with your boy. And let's do that right here. Let me pull that up. All right, let's see what they're talking about here on this comes out of Fox
News. It started with a Lyft pickup here at Amazon in Romulus. A woman got into William Thomas's car. She was complaining of being sick. What happens next, he says, is a kind gesture that's completely gotten blown out of proportion.
East side, west side, north side, south side, I'm everywhere.
Driving for Lyft for 3 years, a retirement gig for William Thomas.
I love it, man.
The once cross-country bus driver and civil rights activist from Selma, Alabama, has a motto.
When I can help one person, my day is not in vain.
It's that giving spirit that spiraled into a public shaming on Facebook, his picture with a warning not to get into his Lyft.
My face is plastered everywhere, all down in Florida.
Friday morning, he picked up a female passenger from Amazon in Romulus.
And I said, how are you doing? Which I do all everybody. And she said, I'm sick.
William, getting over a cold himself, offered her some peppermint oil. He and his wife are big into essential oils after her brain aneurysm 3 years ago.
Put it on there. I said, all you got to do is pass it over your nose. It'll help you breathe.
William had no idea. She was posting on Facebook that she was scared for her life. Then she posted his photo and license plate warning others. The post shared thousands of times already.
All three of my sisters called me crying and carrying on. I said, what? Your picture is all over the Facebook. I said, for what? What did I do?
It's spreading in neighborhood groups like this one, more than 100,000 followers. Wow. William insists he was just trying to help.
I've been dealing with the public for a long time. This is the worst I ever had in my life.
We reached out to the passenger who made the post but did not hear back. William wants to clear his name. He's worried the public shaming will soon affect his job.
I can't believe that you try to help people and they'll stab you in the back like this.
He did go to Woodhaven police to see if they could stop that post from spreading. Unfortunately, there's nothing they can do. In Romulus, Jessica Dupnack, Fox 2 News.
All right, so I saw that story earlier this week, man. And it's messed up in two different ways, right? It's kind of messed up in two different ways. Because I understand why a woman could feel threatened by something like that. And you don't want to dismiss that. Like, we see stories, at least I know just for me personally, I see stories all the time up and down my timeline, especially on my Facebook pages, like in like Detroit and Chicago, of, you know, stories of sex trafficking or stories of attempted kidnappings, stories of, you know, little girls being used as lures to either steal or help kidnap or like all these different schemes. I'm seeing this up and down my timeline. People are on like high alert when it comes to sex trafficking and everything else. So it would be of no surprise to me that a woman would get into a Lyft and some dude is handing her something on a napkin and telling her to like, yo, smell this, that she could possibly be in danger or anything like that. So you don't want to dismiss the fact that she has legitimate concerns about somebody possibly trying to take advantage of her, and she's in this man's car. You know, that's the other part about it being like a Lyft, right? Like, you're in somebody else's car. Like, and we've seen stories. I believe there was a story that just came out maybe 2 weeks ago about like sexual assaults and how often they happen in Lyft and Uber rides, right? How often this stuff happens, and it happens at an alarmingly high rate. So you don't want to dismiss her concerns, right? But then the other part about it is, like, here you got an older gentleman who's doing this. He's a retired man. He comes across very courteous, very nice, someone who may not necessarily be as adept at using things like social media. Like, yeah, he may be able to use like the Lyft app because, yeah, this is how he makes money, but someone who's not necessarily as active on social media as, you know, a lot of us are. And so he probably wouldn't have any idea that his act of kindness could be misconstrued as something that nefarious as sex trafficking. And you kind of get that vibe off of him just watching this particular report. But It's one of those things where, like, because we are so vigilant that sometimes some innocent people may be out here catching strays, right? some innocent folks may be out here catching strays. Here you have an incident where a man was just trying to be helpful to a customer, and it was misconstrued as being something nefarious. Now, one could say that, like, yo, man, like, you don't know this woman. Like, you could maybe just tell her how to do it. You ain't got to pour nothing in there or nothing. Tell her how to do it or whatever. A whole bunch of different ways we can Monday morning quarterback that, right? But I think this was a genuine opportunity. This was a man being genuine in his I think he was trying to be genuine in his want to help, and it was misconstrued. And you know, now we're here where we are. We're like, you got a whole bunch of people who may think that this guy is some sort of pedophile, or not pedophile, but some sort of predator, you know, trying to take advantage of women who are riding in his lift, you know, in his lift or whatever. So, but again, it's that catch 22, because you don't want to dismiss the concerns of the woman who was in his vehicle, who thought that her life may have been in danger. It very well could have been. But the other interesting thing about this is that, like, okay, so a story like this comes out, whether or not that woman comes out and says, you know what, I'm sorry, I misunderstood his intentions, and I knowing what I know now, I regret, you know, like, kind of putting him out there like that, to kind of clean that up. Now, chances are that's probably not going to happen. But it's that whole thing, like I said, about, like, you know, some innocent people may be out here catching strays because we are so vigilant, and we don't want to be less vigilant, right? We want people to not be able to sex traffic and everything. But, like, the unfortunate thing about the whole thing with the social media aspect of it is, although we can get many eyeballs on it and at rapid pace all across the country, this man said there's people down in Florida seeing the shit. He didn't have no idea what's going on. The flip side of that is, no one will really, outside of the people who probably listen to this podcast, the people who saw this report, will probably recognize that, like, this man was probably wrongfully accused of something that he really had no intentions of doing. So, yeah, that's in Blue Blaze. That was actually kind of wild to me, right? So, another story here in Blue Blazes, man, and this is actually it has something to do with The Game. The rapper The Game is in Blue Blazes this week, and the reason why The Game is in Blue Blazes, this story actually comes out of RollingOut.com. I know I accused Rolling Out of being messy last week when it came to Bill Cosby, as they were talking about Harvey Weinstein's settlement, his $25 million settlement with his victims. Rolling Out had another story that I think was a little bit kind of messy. Well, we're going to read this story. This says, The Game investigates why Oprah seemingly targets black predators and not whites, right? It says, it was the kiss seen around the world. Millionaire Oprah Winfrey planted a wet one on the cheek of one of the most notorious sexual predators in the history of Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein. But as The Game and 50 Cent have pointed out, Winfrey has not chosen to do a documentary on Weinstein or Matt Lauer or Kevin Spacey or comedian Louis C.K., nor any of the hundreds of mostly white males who have been exposed for their sexual impropriety during the pinnacle of the Me Too movement. Instead, the only ones in prison are black superstars and legends Bill Cosby and R. Kelly. Winfrey has signed on to executive produce a yet-to-be-named documentary on one of Russell Simmons' rape accusers. It will premiere at the Sundance Film Festival in January. This follows Oprah's explosive own network special about Michael Jackson and last year's Emmy-winning Leaving Neverland documentary, which also premiered at Sundance. TMZ caught up with The Game in Southern California after 50 Cent posted this message for his 25 million Instagram followers. 50 Cent commented on the photo by saying, "You think Oprah don't notice how this shit is playing out?" The comment is quite flummoxed. The Game is quite flummoxed about Winfrey giving a pass to the likes of Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, and the hundreds of other white male predators. While he can't say it definitely, The Game theorized that as a member of a secret society, this shit could almost go into the special hotel unit. As a member of a secret society, Winfrey is forbidden from targeting white male aristocrats. However, The Game told TMZ he promises to investigate the matter expeditiously, knowing that Winfrey is a member of the Untouchables, as he pointed out. Now, I saw that meme that was going around, that people were passing around, and it had, like, Kevin Spacey on there, had Harvey Weinstein on there, had Epstein on there, had Donald Trump on there. It had, who, I think that was all the white guys. Then it had R. Kelly on there. It had Bill Cosby on there as the two that went to jail, right? And all it takes was a cursory Google search to figure out why these white dudes were not necessarily in jail. Jeffrey Epstein died in jail. Go figure. This is the problem with when you get your information, when you get your news from memes, when folks don't read past the headlines and go straight into arguing headline, like clickbait ass articles. Donald Trump has been accused of, sexual assault many times. But as we've seen with the things that are going on with his presidency, they've decided that they can't even indict him because he's a sitting president. He probably won't even face any consequences until after he's out of office. Then you look at what happened with Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey is his charges, I believe, were dismissed because the accuser pleaded the fifth. His accuser pleaded the fifth. Harvey Weinstein, last week we talked about Harvey Weinstein going on trial next month. And then we've got the whole thing with, R. Kelly and Bill Cosby, both of whom got away with what they were doing for long extended periods of time. Think about this, man. I was a teenager. This was the 90s when R. Kelly was first accused of being with an underage Aaliyah. This is back in 95, 96. That's what, 23 years ago? 24 years ago, Bill Cosby was pretty much able to kind of operate with impunity damn near 30 to 40 years up to this point. So they got away with it for an extended period of time. And so the thing that I'm just sort of kind of perplexed by when I see people present these kind of mundane arguments is like, yo, stop acting as though because they're black that we should be taking up for them. Stop acting as though we shouldn't shine a light on them because they're black. Right? Now, there's this thing that people got going on, why y'all always focusing on the black people that's doing shit with all these white people doing stuff, as if you didn't know. See, here's the other part about it. People act like the only reason you know that who Harvey Weinstein is because the media told you. Harvey Weinstein wasn't one of those people who was out in front on a whole lot of shit. Harvey Weinstein was a behind the scenes kind of guy. He was a producer. You didn't see Harvey Weinstein out in movies. You saw his name because it was the Weinstein company that was producing a lot of the movies that y'all like going to see. But you didn't see Harvey Weinstein. You know of Harvey Weinstein because of this. You know who Jeffrey Epstein is because the media was covering Jeffrey Epstein. You know who, the charges against Donald Trump because, one, Donald Trump is president, and two, because the media has been telling you this. So to act as though people aren't shining lights on these white dudes, while meanwhile these black dudes are being overly covered is bullshit, because we know about these other guys because of the coverage that they're getting. And then on top of that, to act as though because black dudes are finally... These two black dudes, these two examples of black people who been out here doing some fuck shit, they're finally facing consequences for the shit that they've been doing for the better part of 20 years. That somehow it's a miscarriage of justice that they finally got what was coming to them. That's dumb. That's dumb. So for the game to be out here talking about Oprah is in a secret society, I mean, truthfully, man, think about this, man. How many secret societies does everybody fucking know about? I mean, how secret could the society be? As a Freemason, I'm used to kind of hearing that shit, too. It's a secret society, man. Only, you know where all our buildings are. You know what I'm saying? Most of the Freemasons, the famous ones anyway, it's pretty much known who they're, that they were Masons. The membership isn't a secret. The arguments never really make much sense at all. And so for the game to be out here talking about, man, she out here, she covered Michael Jackson, man. Michael Jackson, he ain't even here to defend himself. Michael Jackson was here to defend himself when he was going through the shit. But at no point in time, and this is somebody, man, listen, as a kid. Michael Jackson, nigga, I was like the biggest Michael Jackson fan as a kindergartner. I'll tell you, I had a Michael Jackson Thriller jacket that I wore with my camouflage pants and my cowboy boots. Couldn't tell me shit as a kid in Chicago. Yeah, the eighth graders was talking shit about your boy, but I didn't care. I didn't give a damn. I had my shit. I got jacked for that jacket too in Chicago. Didn't even know it, man. I was like 5, 6 years old. My uncle told me to take the jacket off, put it in the corner of the liquor store. I never saw that jacket again. Didn't know why until about maybe 20 years later when he told me, oh yeah, I got stuck up for that. That's why I told you to do it the way you did it. Didn't even know it. Right? Big Michael Jackson fan. But as a 40-year-old or damn near 40-year-old dude now, you think I wouldn't question why like anybody would have their kids like sleeping in the bedroom with a man that isn't their daddy? In the bed? Like, I wouldn't question that? Like, none of y'all thought to question that? Even if you don't think he did anything, like, that's not strange to you? We supposed to just ignore that because Michael Jackson was black? Come on, man. So, yeah, it's just weird that the game would come out and say some silly shit like that. And then now I'm just kind of wondering, like, when this become the wave, right? Because it's become a wave all of a sudden. I've been seeing a whole lot of people on my social timeline. Like, all of a sudden, everybody got a whole lot of, like, foul shit to say about Oprah Winfrey. What Oprah Winfrey doing for them? Like, she out here downing the black man, this, that, and the other. And then you'd be like, damn, but didn't Oprah Winfrey, like, put, like, 400 motherfuckers through Morehouse? Like, didn't Oprah Winfrey, like, you know, go to a HBCU? Like, Oprah Winfrey has put, like, more, like, when you start talking about putting brothers through school, Oprah Winfrey, like, got, like, one of the records, man. Like, she didn't do what my man Smith did at Morehouse, where he paid off everybody's student loans and shit, but she paid for them motherfuckers to be able to go. And many people actually tried to come at her neck when he did that. Like, man, Oprah should be doing that. And it's always funny how, like, you got plans for other people's money. It's weird how people do that with somebody else's bread. You know? But then I start thinking about it. Sometimes you got to, like, kind of wonder. You got to kind of pay attention to the messenger for a lot of shit, right? Because sometimes the messenger is motivated by their own, you know, kind of, you know, their own issues. And one of the reasons why I think the game may have been coming at Oprah Winfrey in the ways in which he is right now is because the game is also dealing with his own sexual assault allegations. And he just lost the damn appeal where he's got to pay a woman out $7 million after a sexual assault allegation against him on his game show from VH1. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Complex.com. It says the game took another loss in his ongoing legal battle with Priscilla Rainey, who sued the rapper for sexual assault. The United States Court of Appeals has reportedly rejected the game's request for a new trial, meaning he is still required to pay Rainey $7.1 million in damages. The court announced the decision Thursday, more than 4 years after the plaintiff filed the civil suit, as TMZ points out. The complaint states the sexual assault occurred in 2015 when Rainey was a contestant on the game's VH1 reality show, She's Got Game. Rainey says she had agreed to meet the rapper at a Chicago sports bar for a date, but was unaware that it would be off camera. According to the lawsuit, the game, legal name Jaycion Terrell Taylor, showed up to the restaurant highly intoxicated and on alcohol and drugs, which was typical, and sexually assaulted the plaintiff on several occasions that night. This included him forcefully reaching his hand inside her dress to rub her bare vagina and buttocks. Rainey won her case in 2016 and was awarded $7.1 million after the game failed to appear in court. The fact the rapper was a no-show for the initial hearings was a big factor in the appeals court decision. Circuit Court Judge Diane Sykes also pointed to the game's online attacks against Rainey, who he accused of simply being bitter over her elimination from the show. Taylor did not take the litigation seriously, Sykes wrote in a 19-page opinion. He evaded process, trolled Rainey on social media, dodged a settlement conference, and did not bother to show up at trial. His attorney asked for a continuance, but the judge denied that request, dismissing Taylor's proffered excuse as an elaborate ruse. So, maybe the game has financial motivations for making these sort of claims. Right? This hits the game right where he at. So because Oprah is doing a documentary on sexual assault within the music industry, maybe the game feels like I might be making an appearance in this shit, and I need to go ahead and start hitting that open right now. You know? Like I said, man, it's just kind of weird, man. It's like kind of watching how, like, it's weird, like, kind of sitting back and watching the social media waves come through. Because this became a wave somewhat. Just start seeing all of a sudden people shitting on Oprah Winfrey. And I'm like, man, for what? What do you, like, and this is the reason why? Because Oprah is like, yo, shedding light on some of the shit that these niggas is out here doing? And I'm going to tell y'all this, man. This is a stance that I've had for a while, man. I remember being on or being invited on a show. I don't know if that show was still, like, in existence or not. But it was this one little dude. What did he call his show, man? I forget. It don't matter. But it was basically, like, he tried to ambush me on his show. Like, he had me on, and he had a whole bunch of people, of course, who were fans of Bill Cosby, were defenders of Bill Cosby, and I was the one lone voice on the show where I talked about, you know, the reasons why Bill Cosby probably deserved to be in jail. And one of the things that I said then and the things that I'm going to say now is, like, yo, I'm not going to pretend that I care all that much about what happens in white society, right? I'm not going to pretend that I care as much as I care about what's going on right here in front of us. And if me talking about, you know, people like The Game, people like Bill Cosby, people like Russell Simmons, people like R. Kelly, if I can't talk about them, then who the fuck else really should be? If we can't talk real, just put some real fucking talk to what's going on within our own community, then who the hell else should? I'm not going to pretend that I care as much about Woody Allen because, again, I don't know much about Woody Allen. If he did some shit that was fucked up, trust and believe. Yeah, he did some shit that was fucked up. You won't find me on here making any excuses for his ass. And that's the difference. Some of y'all out here making excuses for these niggas. And I'm not about to do that. And sometimes that can for some who aren't necessarily as, how can I put this? Somebody who isn't as in touch with integrity, that could be a problem. It may come across as pandering to you. But if we can't talk about this here, then nobody else really should be talking about it, right? Because these people look like me. I got to deal. Like, think about this now. These motherfuckers out here doing these sorts of things, they look like you and me. Right? We sometimes, unfortunately, walk around with that stain if someone does something fucked up. Now, that's not to say that I'm on some, like, respectability shit, because if you listen to this show long enough to know, you know that I'm not. I'm just saying that, like, yo, they out here doing some fucked up shit. I'm not about to be out here co-signing that shit and, like, you know, making it look as though I agree with what the hell is going on. And I'm not about to be making any excuses as to why anybody shouldn't be looking into what they got going on either. That's dumb to me. Like, yo, don't do it. There are plenty of black celebrities who are out here who have managed to not have any sexual assault allegations being made against them. Why? Because they conduct themselves professionally, because they actually respect women. A lot of them doesn't mean that they some sort of sellout or anything else. Like, yo, man, just because you are rich and famous does not mean that you are. What's the word that I'm looking for? Able to operate in, you know, with impunity when it comes to women. And so a lot of these guys are finding their wake up call. It's coming. Time's up for a lot of them, as the hashtag would say, right? So, yeah, man, The Game out here talking shit about Oprah, and it became a wave. 50 Cent also, it became a wave, but, you know, that's in Blue Blazes. Another story here in Blue Blazes, I actually think this is kind of funny, man. So the people in this town that Saddam Hussein came up in, they they actually unveiled a statue dedicated to him. And, well, I'm sorry. The man who threw shoes at George W. Bush actually had a statue erected in his honor for throwing said shoes at George W. Bush.
I Oh man, hey.
Needless to say, they hated George W. Bush. So we're gonna read the story here. This comes out of the NewYorkDailyNews.com. It says many Iraqis considered it poetic justice when a journalist tossed his shoes at President George W. Bush last month. Wait, that wasn't last month. Wait a minute. Hold on. How old is this story? God damn, I got fooled, man. Check the dates on the shit, man. I'll be talking all that shit, bro. This shit is from 2009, but fuck it, we gonna roll with it. Oh man, it says now the bizarre attack has sprawled a real life work of art. A sofa sized statue of the shoe was unveiled Thursday in Tikrit, the hometown of the former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. Baghdad artist Laith Al Amari described the fiberglass and copper work as a tribute to the pride of the Iraqi people. Oh man, for all the shit I be talking about, check these motherfucking dates on the and reading past the headlines, man. Every now and again, your man span get caught up not checking the date. You know, it happens. But that's been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
But y'all know what time it is. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. All right, that's enough of that shit. Proud to be an American time here at the Spam Report Podcast. And our first story here, proud to be an American, is so some conservative radio host were a little bit perturbed at the fact that there was some impeachment hearings going on here in America. And as such, they wanted to, they actually wished for a school shooting to take the attention away from the impeachment hearings.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of the WashingtonPost.com. It says, as Chuck Bonnewell welcomed listeners to his Colorado talk show back from a radio break, his talk radio show back from a break, just after 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, he laughed as he introduced a segment discussing the never-ending impeachment of Donald Trump. You know, he said, you wish for a nice school shooting to interrupt the nonstop impeachment coverage. His wife and co-host, Julie Hayden, immediately jumped in and cut him off. No, don't even say that, she said. No, don't even say that. Don't call us. Chuck didn't say that. Yeah, he did. Oh, man. So Bonnewell quickly tried to walk back the statement, saying he would want a shooting in which no one would be hurt, but the damage had already been done. So just like that is.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Yeah, man, because by the end of the day, the couple's conservative show was canceled by the Aurora, Colorado station, 710 KNUS. Given the history of school violence that has plagued our community, 710 KNUS confirmed that an inappropriate comment was made on the Chuck and Julie show by host Chuck Bonnewell, the station said in a statement Wednesday morning. A programming decision was made to end the program immediately. Bonnewell did not immediately respond to a request for comment late Wednesday. In a now-deleted tweet, Bonnewell defended himself, suggesting that people had misunderstood his intent. Right. I made an inappropriate comment meant as a joke, he said. The Denver Post reported, I'm sorry it was not received that way. Chuck and Julie was removed from the station's website and returned an error message by early Thursday. The radio station said Chuck and Julie's show would be replaced by former White House aide Sebastian Gorka's America First program starting Thursday. KNUS is no stranger to controversy brought on by his programs, and other hosts denied allegations last week that he had posted white supremacist memes online after he made comments on air that mirrored an anti-Semitic post by someone using his name on a Russian social media platform frequented by extremists. Whew. The host told 9 News the post was part of an elaborate ploy by a local anti-fascist group to defame him. The station defended him. In November, the station unceremoniously interrupted another host as he began to criticize President Trump on air. The station denied pulling the program because of the anti-Trump comments, but the show later disappeared from the 710 KNUS webs. So basically, it's all Trump all the time there, baby. And the only time they found, like, they found something to be above the pale was like, hey, man, you can't be out here wishing these school shootings, man. You can't be out here doing that, man. Like, you know, I mean, we don't give a damn about them kids, but we got to at least appear like we give a damn about these kids. So we got to take your shit. Meanwhile, open racists are on that show all day long. Open Trump supporters who happen to be racist on their damn airways all day long, man. All day long. Proud to be a motherfucking American, man. Proud to be American, for real, man. Jesus Christ. Another story here, proud to be an American, is in Wisconsin. Okay, so we talked earlier on the show about the governor of New Jersey, giving more people the right to vote. But a judge in Wisconsin is actually trying to, like, do some other shit. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of jsonline.com. It says, an Ozaukee County judge on Friday ordered the state to remove tens of thousands of people from Wisconsin's voter rolls because they may have moved. The case is being closely watched because of the state's critical role in next year's presidential race. Circuit Judge Paul Malloy also denied the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin's petition to intervene. Lawyers for the League and for the Wisconsin Elections Commission indicated that they will appeal and ask Malloy to stay his ruling, pending those appeals, but he declined. At issue is a letter the State Elections Commission sent out in October about 234,000 voters who it believes may have moved. The letter asked the voters to update their voter registrations if they had moved or alert election officials if they were still at their same address. The commission plans to remove the letter's recipients from the voter rolls in 2021 if it hasn't heard from them. Three voters sued the commission last month with the help of the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They argue election officials were required to remove voters from the rolls 30 days after sending the letters if they hadn't heard from them. Think about this. Conservatives. And this goes back to the point that I was making earlier, in response to that email. Conservatives they know they lose. The more people are able to vote, the more people have the availability of the voting of the polls, the less likely they stand a chance of winning elections straight up. This is why I don't believe that conservatives represent half of the American electorate. I believe that conservatives represent a vast minority in elections here in America. And this is why they try so hard to disenfranchise voters. This is why they're trying so hard to get people purged from these voter rolls. We saw what happened in Georgia with Kemp being the Secretary of State against Stacey Abrams as they were both running for governor. They were trying to purge voters from those roles. And here we have conservatives fighting to get more voters purged from the roles. They know that if these people have access to the polls, they stand less of a chance of winning in these elections. So they have to get y'all up out of the paint. And this is why I keep telling y'all, man, if it wasn't so vital for your vote, they wouldn't be trying so hard to take it away from you. It's vital that you go vote. But here's the other part about this too. And as I said earlier in the show, I believe that even if you move, your registration shouldn't be coming under jeopardy because you moved. If anything, they should just change you over to the next voter eligible polling place. As you submit your change of address forms, your voting registration should go right along with you. Not that you have to go out and re-register. It should be an automatic thing, right? It says they asked Malloy to issue an injunction that would require election officials to purge their rolls. Commissioners and others say that would lead to some people getting knocked off the rolls who shouldn't be. But Malloy went further and granted a writ of mandamus. He said he was convinced the commission had a clear, positive, plain legal duty to purge within 30 days. I don't want to see someone deactivated, but I don't write the law, Malloy said. He said the commission didn't like the policy, so it went away from it. There's no basis for saying 12 to 24 months is a good time frame. It's not that difficult to do it sooner, he said near the end of a 2-hour hearing. If you don't like it, you have to go back to the legislature. Election officials sent the letters based on information compiled by the Electronic Registration Information Center, a coalition of 28 states in Washington, D.C. that tries to keep voter rolls as accurate as possible. Eric flags voters who file address changes with the post office or register vehicles at new addresses. The Elections Commission, which consists of three Democrats and three Republicans, doesn't want to immediately remove people from the voter rolls because in some cases their information is faulty and the voters haven't moved. For instance, people could be flagged as having moved if they registered a vehicle at a business address instead of their home address. Voters who were removed from the voter rolls, whether correctly or mistakenly, can regain the ability to cast ballots by re-registering online at their clerk's office or at the polls on Election Day. Of the 234,000 letters that were sent above, about 60,000 were returned as undeliverable as of December 5th, according to the Elections Commission. As of then, about 2,300 recipients of the letters said they continued to live at the address, and about 16,500 had registered to vote at new addresses. Again, everything I already said, man. Everything I already said. This is just yet another way to disenfranchise voters and, be vigilant about your voter registration. Make sure you have your voter registrations intact until these laws are changed. But if you want Donald Trump out of the White House, then the most effective way to do that is to make sure that you go to the polls, take some other people that you know and go to the polls, register them to vote right now. You got 11 months to educate yourself on every last one of these candidates that are running. Educate yourself on these candidates. And be prepared to vote that orange menace out of office come November 2020. All right. So that's in Blue Blazers. Another story that's here. I'm sorry, not Blue Blazers, but Proud to Be an American. Another story here and Proud to Be an American is the story about a Nazi sympathizer. Is he a Nazi sympathizer or nah? Well, I'm going to go ahead and say yeah. I mean, you got your shit. You got the shit all over your house, right? So it says an Iowa home with Confederate and Nazi displays gets vandalized. Is there a video to this? Yeah, there is. So I ain't got to read. Let me go ahead and pull this up. Let me go ahead and pull this up so I ain't got to read all this shit. All right. So let's see what they talking about over there in Iowa. Check this out, y'all.
The free country. I'll put it out there if I want to.
White supremacist is what I look at the Nazi symbol as being. Super racist, super offensive, just disgusting.
No, they don't know their history, evidently. That's the only reason I could think that they think anything bad about it. They don't know their history.
No, nigga, you don't know your history. You don't know your history, dude. Like that, again, as we talked about, lost cause, right? And how people are able to walk around thinking that this was about service, that this was about sacrifice, that this was about heritage. And you got people like this guy walking around with Confederate, flags all over his house. He's got Nazi swastikas all over his house. Like, even if you're talking about people don't know their history, dude, we do know that we fought a civil war, right? That's in the history. We do know that the people who flew that flag were fighting against the continuance of the Union, right? We consider them traitors now, right? They seceded from the Union. They are traitors. So right now you're walking around with one army that lost, that fucking lost, right? And then you think about the Nazis who were trying to eliminate not only just Jews, but like eliminate most people of color who consider themselves the master race, who tried to expand that into all parts of the world. They lost in World War II. Adolf Hitler killed himself to avoid capture. And we fought a war over that. Like, they lost in World War II too. So racist for the Confederacy and for Nazism are 0-2 in these big world wars, these civil wars and everything else. And you got this goofy motherfucker walking around here talking about some, it's my First Amendment rights. And I got the right to fly them if I want to. Yeah, you do. But I'm not mad at anybody who would vandalize your shit. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not mad at all. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of like, not mad at all, Chief. Not in the least bit. But he's talking about they don't know their history. Come on, bro. Come on, man. Morris Elementary School denounced. Okay, so says his display is across the street from a school. So it says Morris Elementary School denounced Stark's display, and earlier this year, the city officials labeled his property a nuisance. So it became one of those things where they just start putting words on the damn screen.
What they have posted out there is not teaching our children to be inclusive and to love everyone.
All right. So, yeah, man, this man got out there and talked about it not being hateful at all, and that we don't know our history. And, you know, like I said, it's some bullshit. But that has been Proud to Be an American. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. All right, but y'all know what time it is.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
All right, our champ of the week this week here. Well, yeah, our champ of the week this week here at the Spirit Report Podcast. And the last champ of the week of the year 2019. We got three of them, y'all. We got Jamario Howard, Jamichael Baker, and Tay Knight. And the reason why these three young men are the champ of the week this week is, you know, it's a holiday season. You know, folks are being nice. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, though, sometimes being nice, sometimes being kind, can go a long way. And you never really know how much or how much you can really affect someone in a positive way and make them just feel good. It can be a small gesture, but it can go a long way to someone who may be lonely, someone who is dealing with a lot. And so I feel like it was apropos to kind of acknowledge these guys for stepping out of themselves and doing something nice for someone that they didn't have to do it for, right? So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of CBSNews.com. It says, three young men from Alabama learned a valuable lesson when they sat down for dinner with an elderly stranger. Go see your grandparents. They miss you. The enlightening encounter happened when the group of friends spotted an elderly woman eating alone at a local restaurant and decided to join her. Jamario Howard says he and his friends Jamichael Baker and Tay Knight were waiting for their food at Brad's in Oxford, Alabama, when they spotted the woman dining alone. My exact thought was, dang, I'd hate to have to eat alone, Howard wrote on Facebook. So after thinking about it a minute, I walked over to her and asked if I could sit with her. The woman said yes, and the two started talking. After a while of talking, she told me she lost her husband and that tomorrow would have been their 60th anniversary, Howard wrote. I instantly gave my condolences and asked her to come eat with us, which she was excited to do. The three friends welcomed the widow to their table, and they all shared a meal together. They snapped a picture that has gone viral, with more than 44,000 people sharing Howard's Facebook post. The point in this is always be kind and be nice to people. Howard reflected on the moment. You never know what they're going through. He said the woman changed his outlook on life and how he looks at other people. Everyone has a story, so do not judge. And people, I can't stress this enough, go see your mom and your grandparents. They miss you. The elderly widow touched the young men's hearts, and they touched thousands of others by sharing their story of kindness. So, yeah, man. Like, I know we talk a lot about some doom and gloom ass shit on this show, man. So every now and again, we try to sprinkle a little comedy in here. Every now and again, we try to sprinkle a little levity and whatnot. But, you know, we also want to highlight those who are doing great things for other people. And sometimes it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. Just sometimes just stepping outside of yourself and being nice, man. Especially when, like, I have a special place, like, for, like, when it comes to the elderly. Like, just in my line of work, sometimes I come across, like, elderly folks who are living alone. And, you know, I'm there to do a job, but at the same time, these people may be alone most all of the day. They're, you know, their kids may be busy with work. The grandkids probably never come by to visit. And so the time that I'm there working, they got somebody to talk to. And they gonna talk to your boy, you know. And, you know, I try hard pretty much to just, like, kind of let them know that, like, I, you know, how can I put this? I try to let them know that somebody's willing to listen. Because truth be told, that's really what all of us want. Somebody to be willing to listen to us. We all want to be heard. Right? And so going into 2020 and whatnot, man, there are going to be, you know, some slight changes as to how we do things here at the Spirit and Poor Podcast. So not only that I get my voice heard, but we can do the beer and chicken and get our voices heard that way. And then me and my wife doing our the Baywatch and get our voice heard. But really, man, I want you guys, the listeners of the Spirit and Poor Podcast, to not only just know but understand that I appreciate y'all rocking with your boy for as long as y'all have been. For the new people who've been like, who just kind of like got on, man, I appreciate y'all for like being here. You know what I'm saying? Like, welcome. But also, man, like, this is a platform where, you know, we make it available for you to get in contact with us and have your voice heard in so many different ways. You can be a part of the chat room while we're doing the show live on Crowdcast. You can send us emails and have your voice heard that way. You can call a hotline and leave a voicemail. You know, that's another way to get in touch with us, have your voice be heard. You can hit us up on CastBox and leave comments there. That's another way for your voice to be heard. You can leave comments on the website. That's another way for your voice to be heard. You can leave us 5-star reviews. That's another way for your voice to be heard. Like, there's so many different ways that we want to hear from you guys. And so, like, this is a platform where if you got something to say, you can say it. Everybody wants to be heard. And that's part of the reason why I say let your voice be heard, because you know, it's not just, you know, what I think about things, but, you know, some of the ways, like, real talk, some of the ways in which I communicate is predicated upon the ways in which I see other people talking about certain things. And then I formulate an idea or I formulate an opinion based on how I feel about the way that people are talking about certain things. So, yeah, man. This has been a pretty good year for us here at the Spirit and Poor, man. Like, one of the goals that I had for the show, man, was to just be more consistent in putting these shows out. And we've been able to accomplish a bit of that. You know what I'm saying? We've been much more consistent than we were years ago, man, where there were like months between shows and everything. But yeah, man, I can't believe it's almost 10 years, man. And going into 2020, man, I wish, you guys are going to hear from me again on, like, Beer and Chicken, but real talk, for those of you who don't listen to the Beer and Chicken podcast, I'll say this. I wish you a very Merry Christmas, a very Happy New Year. I want everybody to be safe. I want everybody to be wrapped in love, man. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to, like, kind of just, like, live and enjoy the love and the people around you, all right? Do that. If I leave you with nothing else, I want you to do that to close out 2019. And I will talk to you guys again here on the Span Report podcast. It's going to be a couple weeks. Your man Span need to break. I'm about to take a break. I need it. And y'all probably need it too, man. Spend some time with your family. Have some love and some drinks and some gifts and all of that good shit, man. I love y'all. And I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.